Hello, and thank you for lending your ears to RateUp.ca's Real Money Talk podcast. In this show, we give you the real talk on all things money. We eliminate the fine print, we junk the jargon, and we explain how you can make smarter financial decisions. We're not millionaires, we're thousandaires, and we know you are too, so this show is for you. We want to talk about money because it affects everyone, rich and poor. Money shouldn't only be the occupation of the 1%, but rather the 99%. Money isn't everything, but it is everywhere. We want to educate about money through story. We Canadians ignore money, hoping if we do, like many other problems, it'll go away. Our goal is to make money an everyday discussion. Thank you for tuning in to Real Money Talk. Today on the show, we have the Vice President of Finance and Operations at RateHub.ca, Jen Pollock. And our special guest on the show is the tax expert, Carolyn Corbet from Wealthsimple Tax, formerly known as Simple Tax. We're going to take a slightly different direction with the show today, more of a rapid fire call and response line of questioning to make sure we get all your questions answered. Both Jen and Carolyn have extensive experience in taxes, and our number one goal is to get you to file your own tax return this year. We promise it's much easier than you think. We're going to eliminate whatever fears you may have about filing income tax in Canada, answer all your questions, and hopefully empower you to file your taxes on your own. So whether it's your first time listening or you're a longtime listener, you know we always kick things off with a money mistake or makeup. This time, let's stick to taxes. Years ago, my wife had a $3,000 charitable donation for some nursing work she did in Haiti. We had never contributed that much before, and CRA flagged it and questioned us. I can't tell you how scary it is to feel like you're on the verge of being audited, but we had all the documents in place, submitted them to the government, and we were in the clear, and it felt so good. And I've continued to file my taxes online since by myself, and it feels really good. Jen, how about yourself?
So when I first opened up my TFSA account, I had a general high interest savings account. And a couple of years down the road, I decided I want to start investing that money. And so I went to the bank and I decided to transfer the money from a high interest savings TFSA to an investment TFSA. But as an avid user of online banking services, I got very distracted by how long it was taking for this transfer to go through. And so this new account was open, but money wasn't in it. So I went online and initiated the transfer on my own. And what this caused to happen is that the CRA basically said, no, you've now withdrawn from your TFSA and over-contributed to your TFSA within the same year. And so I got a notice saying you've over-contributed and you owe a whole bunch of interest and penalties on the over-contribution. And so I was able to work with the CRA about the transfer because I had all the paperwork showing that the transfer was supposed to happen with the exact dates. And I was able to work with them on that mistake. But it was a terrifying few months while I was working through that one.
Few months. Yeah, that's some stress. But I'm pleased to hear that, you know, in both of our stories, the CRA is like, they're not the scary monsters. They're just there to make sure everything, I's are dotted, T's are crossed. Carolyn, how about yourself?
Yeah, this is actually a little embarrassing as somebody who's a tax expert. So last year when I filed my tax return, I forgot to claim the climate action incentive on my tax return, which is like $400 worth of credit. And so I filed my return and then I'm like, my refund isn't high enough. It should be actually a little more. So I went through it again and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to apply for this. So I just had to, I added it to my return and then used refile to send my return. But it's a little embarrassing that I missed it the first time.
Yeah, I just, when going through, I just sort of click whatever I'm available for and the fields just open up for me. Anyway, I'm glad that we can all get it resolved. Look how easy it is and it's possible for us all. So Jen, now that we've gone through the rapid fire, please take it away.
Thank you for having me on the show today as our guest host. And to kind of kick it all off, I want to give some background context for Canadians. And so the first question is really, when are taxes due in Canada?
So taxes are due April 30th of this year. Last year, there had been an extension, but this year so far, CRA has not announced an extension. So it remains April 30th.
And is that for everybody, or is it different if I'm self-employed or if I'm an employee?
Yes, if you're self-employed, you have until June 15th to file your tax return. And that's also if your spouse is self-employed, you have until June 15th. Generally, though, you start incurring interest after April 30th if you have a balance due. So people should kind of get a heads up before that date.
Great. And so in both that situation where I'm an employee or when I'm self-employed, can I file my own taxes? I know Tyler was talking about doing it himself before, so I know there are certain situations where you can, but can you in every situation?
Yes, in most cases, there's very, very little cases that I would say that you can't file your own tax return. It's way easier than people think, so definitely people should give it a try and file their own.
And how long would it take for me to do my own taxes?
So it takes the average person about an hour to prepare their tax return using Wealthsimple Tax. Anywhere between half an hour to an hour is the average.
Okay, and how long will it take for kind of the CRA to process that once I've filled my own taxes out?
So CRA states that they can get you your refund in as little as 8 days if you're using Netfile, which is the electronic submission after you prepare your return. So yeah, it's super quick to get your refund.
Wonderful. Awesome. And so if it's so easy for me to do it, it takes me an hour and I can just do it online myself, what happens if I decide not to do that and if I don't file my taxes?
So if you don't file your tax return, you'll no longer receive many of the benefits that CRA gives and other provincial governments. So things like the GST HST credit, the child care benefit are the big ones that you will not receive if you don't file a tax return. And also if you owe money and don't file a return, CRA will eventually request for you to file a return and you'll likely have to pay a penalty because you didn't file a return.
And so how would the CRA know if I had like income or something where I could owe taxes? I know that my employer, if I'm employed, gives a T4, but how does the CRA kind of monitor all of that?
Yeah, so employers and a lot of your other slips and your the slip providers send that information directly to CRA. So they start putting the slips once they receive them, because they have your social insurance number on them, they put them in your account. So if they see that you have, you know, multiple slips and that kind of thing, and you haven't filed a return, that's when they may send you a letter to request a tax return.
Got it. And so if the CRA has all this information, does this auto-populate into my tax return if I'm doing it online? Is there a way to get that directly from the CRA?
There sure is. So it's called Autofill My Return. So if you have your logged into your CRA My Account, you can get your slips directly into the software.
Awesome. That's super easy and helpful. So now that I've got my taxes all set up, I know when they're due, I'm filling it out online. How do I know how much I would have to pay? I know there's marginal tax rates, and in Canada, there's different tax brackets, but is there an easy way to kind of guess how much I would have to pay?
So I don't think that there's an easy way to guess exactly how much you'll have to pay, but when you're filling out your return, every time you enter information, Wealthsimple Tax will tell you where your refund or your balance owing stands at. So you're always up to date as you're entering information. Now for the tax brackets, each province also has different tax brackets. But if we just talk about the federal tax brackets, for example, your first $48,535 of your income is taxed at 15%.
For everybody, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And then so the next tax bracket goes up to $97,000. And then just the difference between the $97,000 and $48,000, that will be taxed at 20.5%. And it goes up from there.
I think that's it's a really important point, and Tyler was asking that, is one thing that I know a lot of people have asked me questions about in the past is how do the marginal rates work, so that if I start earning money at the next tax bracket, is all of my money going to be charged taxes at this higher rate? But as you kind of mentioned, it's really only that first bit is always at that lower rate, and only the incremental new revenue is taxed at the higher tax rate.
That's totally correct. Yeah. And that's definitely a thing that a lot of Canadians don't understand, because they think that as soon as you're in that bracket that you're going to be paying 20.5% on all your income, but that's not correct. It's really only just the incremental difference.
Awesome. And so this year, I think a lot of people have a very different tax situation. A lot of people have started to work from home, if that's an option to them. And if working from home was not an option, they may have had to apply for some of the different benefits like CERB. Can you give us some information about some considerations that are unique to the 2020 tax year that you're filing in 2021?
Yeah. As you mentioned, working from home is going to be a big deduction this year for a lot of Canadians. The CRA announced a new way to claim your employment expenses this year because there are so many Canadians working from home in 2020. They introduced the temporary flat rate method, which basically allows you to claim $2 per day for the number of days you worked from home, up to $400. So that's, you don't need any supporting documentation. You just enter it on your tax return, how many days you worked, and the software will calculate it all for you. If you're Ed, you can also choose to claim the detailed method of employment expenses. And for the detailed method, you do need to get a form signed by your employer stating that you had to work from home due to COVID. And the form is called the T2200 short form. And on that, and then once you claim the detailed method, you have to have receipts for your utilities, if you rented, the amount of rent that you paid, and then you claim your expenses based on the percentage of your workspace compared to your total home. So it depends on for how much work people want to put into it. Like I said, the temporary flat rate method is super easy to enter. For the detailed method, it's a little bit more work. It might be more beneficial depending on how much of your workspace, the percentage of your workspace for your home, and again, what your expenses are. So, but people will have the choice to do one or the other.
If I'm working in my hallway and not like even a one bedroom, it's probably better to just do the fast method.
Yeah, that's likely. If it's a shared space, like with that you use it for other purposes other than working, it's probably more beneficial to claim the temporary flat rate.
And you mentioned that you could do it if you rent your home and things like that. But what if you own your home?
So you can still deduct things like your utilities and your internet usage, but you can't claim things like mortgage interest or property tax. So that's the big difference between being a renter and owning your home.
That's a big difference. It's a good benefit for those who rent to be able to claim that. These are for the people who were fortunate enough to keep their jobs and be able to kind of relocate throughout COVID. But what about some of the people who were laid off or not able to continue working in person? And so they ended up having to apply for some of the government benefits like CERB. What happens to them when it comes to their annual taxes?
Yeah, so if people have received CERB during the year, they'll either receive a T4E slip or a T4A slip. Now, the reason there's a difference, it depends if you applied for CERB through Service Canada or through CRA. If you applied through Service Canada, you'll get a T4E. If you applied through CRA, you'll get a T4A. You'll just enter the slip into the software and it'll get added to your income and you're taxed on that income. I mean, I think it is a little scary for some people because they weren't withholding tax on these payments. So people may owe a little bit more money or not get as big of a refund this year if they worked and were on CERB for part of the year.
Right. And so I think that's a key thing that I know that when I've talked to some of my friends who ended up getting CERB, it's a bit of a scary moment because they're so used to being employees where taxes are withheld from the source every day. So it's a big difference when they're getting this after-tax income. I think it's something that's more familiar to people who have been self-employed. Generally speaking, self-employed people don't have taxes withheld the same way. Is there anything that people should be thinking about this year, especially if they're self-employed or is they're a self-employed person the same as every other year? I think there's a lot of people who've kind of tried to do some side hustles, Uber driving to deliver some groceries as a way to kind of supplement their income.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that a lot. There's a lot more people who came in and are now self-employed for 2020. Really, what you need to know for self-employment income is that you report that income, but you can also deduct a lot of your expenses. So if you had to incur an expense to earn that kind of income, so if you were an Uber driver and obviously you're using your car, then you can claim some of your motor vehicle expenses. The important thing there is to make sure that you kept your receipts for all your gas and anything else that got incurred, and also keep track of your mileage. So how much mileage that you incurred for the entire year and how much of that mileage was to earn self-employment income.
Got it. And so then what about standard tax credits and other things that I can claim? Are there things that I know there are things like medical expenses or charitable deductions that I could claim as a self-employed worker or also an employee that may be a little different? How do some of those tax credits and deductions work?
Yeah. So a tax credit is basically a way to reduce the amount of tax payable you have. It just gets applied directly to the tax that you're owing, and which could result in a refund or a balance due, again, depending on your situation. So the most common tax credits are the basic personal amount. So everybody gets the basic personal amount. It can change a little bit depending on your situation, but everybody's entitled to that. If you are married and have a spouse that has very little income, you may be entitled to the spousal amount. If you're a single parent, you'll likely entitled to the eligible dependent amount. And then, as you mentioned, medical expenses and donations are also pretty common.
Are there any tax credits that are less well known that people should know about in order to take advantage of the deduction, like the climate credit that you kind of kicked off as your money mistake?
Yeah. So new this year is the digital news subscription tax credit. So if you subscribe to some digital news source, CRA has a list on their website, and in Wealthsimple Tax, we link out to see if it's actual eligible, but you may be entitled to a tax credit for that. As I mentioned in my money mistake, the climate action incentive, that's a refundable tax credit that is available to people living in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario. But those are kind of the common ones.
Great. And so are there any other ways that people tend to like want to reduce their taxes? I know we've talked about these credits, we've talked about the home office deductions. What about, I've heard lots about RSP contributions as a way to reduce my taxes. How does that work?
Yeah, so an RSP deduction, again, that's the difference between a deduction and a tax credit. So a deduction will actually lower the amount of your income. So then your net income and your taxable income gets reduced. The amount that you'll be taxed will be based on your percentage, but it may come down. You may come down a tax bracket and those kinds of things if you're making a deduction such as an RSP deduction.
Got it. And so we were talking before a bit about how in this COVID world with the work from home credits, you can deduct a portion of your rent for work from home, and you can't deduct mortgage interest. If there wasn't this work from home option this year, could those costs ever be deducted for a person, or is it just like, I'm going to have to pay for my place to live no matter what?
Yeah, so it's really provincially based for the rent or property tax. For these provinces, a lot of times it's to calculate certain benefits rather than actually deduct the rent that you paid or the property tax that you paid. So in Ontario, for example, you may qualify for the Ontario Trillium benefit, and there you would put in your rent paid or your property tax paid, and they use that information to calculate how much you're going to get for that benefit. In Quebec, it's a similar situation. They have the solidarity tax credit, so they use the information if you're a renter or if you own your home, and use that to calculate the credit that you'll receive monthly. Manitoba is the only province that actually has the property tax credit, and it's used to reduce your Manitoba tax owing.
Great. It sounds each province seems to do this all so differently. How do you make sure somebody like you or tax person, how do we know if we're making sure that we've got the right province to calculate this, or does Wealthsimple tax software help us do that for us?
Yeah, Wealthsimple Tax will definitely help you. If you haven't entered certain information, we have a section in the review that tells you, you know, have you thought about this? You may be able to claim something that you've missed, especially for something like the Ontario Trillium benefit or the Solidarity Tax Credit and the property tax credit. There's messaging in there if you haven't entered it the first time.
Great. I've heard a lot in the news lately about a capital gains tax and changes to the capital gains tax as a way that the government is talking about paying for a lot of the benefits that have been given out during COVID. Can you tell us a little bit about what the capital gains tax is and how it works?
Yeah, so capital gains currently are taxed at 50%. So if you had a $1,000 gain during the year, so sold some capital property such as a share or something, and your gain was $1,000, you're only paying tax on $500 of that amount.
Got it. And so at least what I'm seeing is there's been different news on whether or not that percent tax may change in the future, or even that they may charge that on a principal residence. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but it seems like it's the big piece of news these days.
Yeah, before the year 2000, the capital gains were taxed at 75%, And then in 2000, they switched to 66% and then eventually came down to 50%. Yeah, so it's possible that they do change that rate at some point. I guess we'll see what comes out of that.
Great. So we've kind of talked about your main employment, either working for a company or being self-employed. We've talked about your side hustle in order to earn money through kind of whatever your secondary source of income being Uber drivers or anything else in the gig economy. We've also kind of chatted a little bit about some investment income and way to pay taxes on that through your capital gains. But what about as another way that I know a lot of people think about to earn some extra cash is renting out their basement or listing their home on Airbnb. I think that one was a little bit more popular pre-COVID and may become popular again after COVID. How do I deal with that on my taxes if I'm renting out my basement to a tenant?
Yeah, so the guideline there is really what is your intention. So if you are renting out space in your own home or renting out the entire home with the intention of making a profit, then yes, you do have to declare your rental income. So then you'll declare, you know, all of your income and any expenses that were incurred to earn that income. But if you're just renting out a portion of your home to family or someone who you're close to and charge less than the fair market value, then you don't have no expectation of profit, then really you don't have to claim any of that income because it's likely going to be a loss anyways, and you don't declare that.
Sorry, that's really interesting. So people can, but that's still income that they're making, but they don't have to claim it?
Well, so if they're charging less than the fair market value, right? So if you have, you know, a family or someone you're close to and you're charging, you're renting out your basement to help them out and to help you out pay your bills. Yeah, if it's less than the fair market value, then you have no intention of making a profit. You're just trying to pay for your home, and then it doesn't have to be included as rental income.
Right.
Wow.
Like as home prices go over, you know, the average home price, certainly like in Toronto, but other places like soar over $1 million, I imagine there's a number of people that might say, well, I just need to help paying my mortgage.
Yeah, for sure. And that's just it. If you have the intention of making a profit, then you definitely have to declare it. But if it's just to help you pay your bills and that kind of thing, then it's likely not considered rental income.
Right.
Right. And what about if I'm like Airbnb-ing my condo out? I'm going out of town for a month and then I decide to put my condo up on Airbnb. Is that kind of the same thought if it's a short-term rental?
Yeah, for Airbnb, it's probably more likely to be considered rental income because you do kind of have the intention of making a profit. So that would be declared as rental income.
Great. And then as we kind of have chatted through the different ways we can earn income, we do things, we've looked at the different categories of income. The last question I have is around married couples and filing with your spouse. In Canada, can you file your return together or do you have to file separately?
Yeah, so each person files their own tax return in Canada, whether you're married or single. You each file your own tax return.
If we're each individually filing, is there any ways that we can make sure that we're claiming any deductions or credits appropriately if there's something that one of us can claim but not the other? Or is there a way to share any of those deductions and credits?
Yeah, so in Wealthsimple Tax, you can actually link your returns together. When you're preparing your return, you say that you're married, and then it'll ask if you want to link another return in your account. And then things such as tax credits, medical expenses, donations, that kind of thing will all be optimized near the end. And it will go to who should receive it, like who it makes more sense for to get the best tax result.
That's super helpful to have that automated right in there and right in the service.
Definitely. Thank you, Carolyn. That was a very informative run of tax questions, and you had the answers at the ready. That was just impressive. You're a wealth of knowledge, and thank you for that. If it's okay with you, we're going to jump into the rapid-fire question.
Sure. Sounds great.
Okay, cool. What is in your wallet?
My ID, my credit card, and probably half a dozen loyalty point cards.
I love the question because it's so varied, the answers, but yeah.
So the next rapid fire, what's a book that everyone should read?
So I just finished this book. It was a great read. It's called American Dirt by Janine Cummins. It was fantastic.
I just read that one too. It's a great one. It's a great story. Yeah. It's always fun to get a good novel with a good story behind it.
Want to give me a preview, a summary,
So it's basically this family that's living in Mexico, and the cartel kills most of the family. So this mother and son have to make their way to the United States. And it's kind of their journey, a journey on how they're trying to get into the United States.
Very cool. I think my wife would enjoy that one. Okay, what was your first job and what did you learn from it?
My first job was serving popcorn at the Edmonton Coliseum. So I learned really great customer service because, you know, hockey intermissions is only 20 minutes and you're serving hundreds of people and you have to be quick and efficient and still be pleasant to people. And yeah, it was a great job.
Are you an Oilers fan now for life or?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Fair enough.
What is a commonly held belief about your industry or space that you passionately disagree with?
That getting your taxes done by a tax preparer will get you a bigger refund. I think a lot of people think that if they have a professional doing their tax return, that they'll find things to get them a bigger refund. And generally, that's not the case. I mean, if your tax situation is a little bit more complicated, then yeah, there's definitely room in this industry for tax preparers. And I totally agree with that. But if you're an employee and, you know, just have basic deductions, such as an RSP, medical donations, that kind of thing, they're going to get the same result as you doing it on your own.
And then you get more money back because you didn't pay them the money.
Exactly.
Right. If you had one tweet that everyone in the world was guaranteed to read, what would it say?
File your tax return. Not filing or filing on time. More problems.
That's great. And then what's your number in order to retire? How much do you need?
1.5 million.
Now that was quicker than anybody's ever said it before. So,
so yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot.
And it's such a nice, round, pretty number. And some people have like come back with like right away 1 million. And I'm kind of, but you've increased it to 1.5, and maybe that's just the rate of inflation.
Well, it would have to be like to quit right now, right? So I have to pay off my existing mortgage and that kind of stuff. So,
So you're being a tax expert, you're what, a year or two away, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's the kind of money we make.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Where can people find you if they have questions or if they have text questions, where would you send them?
I would send them, honestly, we have a great support staff with Wealthsimple Tax. So if people are using the software and have questions, send us an email. We get back to you pretty quick. Our team is great, and I'm on support as well, helping people out all the time.
Cool. And actually, I filed my taxes with Wealthsimple Tax in preparation for the show. It was very easy. And then at the end, the other thing is it's free. I don't think we've mentioned that, but there was an option for, which is kind of interesting, that I could pay $30 to have like my tax return audit proof or something. And can you tell me what that's about?
Yeah. So it's kind of what we're offering this year is a premium package. So what you get with that is priority email support. So, you know, you'll get your answer within a few hours if you choose premium. The audit support is, so if CRA requests for information, reassesses your return, we'll help you figure out what happened and then walk you through the process of going through that.
So even if I do screw up, you've got my back.
We do. Yeah, we can definitely figure out what happened and help you out with that.
Sweet. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Carolyn, for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you both.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to Beat Chemist for providing us with our music. Find him on SoundCloud. I want to sincerely thank you for taking the time out of your own day and investing it in yourself to get smarter about money. Head over to ratehub.ca to learn more about making smarter financial decisions. If you want to thank us, please leave a review on Apple Podcast and follow us on Spotify. Thank you for listening. Let's help Canadians choose better with their finances.
The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by RateHub employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the views of RateHub Inc. or any of its sponsors or officials. This is for general use. We're not certified or licensed advisors.
Yeah, we just don't want to get sued.